I think I'm okay now?
Yes.
Yes.
The learning this year is dedicated to Zecha Nishmas, Harav Chaim, Bereb Avraham, Zichrono Livracha, Hi Obisfeld, who was one of the main founders of this year years ago and passed away at the beginning of the corona sickness. We were discussing, we're in the middle of the dinim of Refuah the Shabbos, the dinim of Chodesh Eish Basakana, Eim Basakana. So, could I to say over a comment that the Avnezer has in the Sefer Egli Tal. Avnezer was a Chassidish Rebbe who died 100 years ago, the Sachar Shavu Rebbe, and he has beautiful tshuvas, polish his style, sharp, everything is very sharp. He was a super genius, and he did a lot of work on all of the Lamates of his Malachas, and the first half of the first 15 malachas, he did such a good job, he completed his all he had to say, he put it in a Sefer Egli Tal. Tal is because of the Lama Tes malachas. The rest of the malachas, he started writing a lot, but he never completed. So we have all the haskholas of all the essays on the malachas in the Tshuvas Avnezer. So in the Sefer Egli Tal, he has a lot about Refuah the Shabbos. So he points out the following. That's that person, we explained that there are four different categories. There's a bari with a mechesh b'yalma, a person basically healthy, has a slight ache and pain, so the din is he's not allowed to take a pill. He's not allowed to take any medication. There's a gzera of refuah. So it's a gzera, shemi yishachik samamon. And the gzera applies even if there's nothing to grind up, even just to use a hot water bottle because you have a bellyache. So the Gemara says also usher, even though the whole Tom Akzera doesn't apply. It was a loy plug rabban. It made Akzera prohibiting all kinds of refuah of the Shabbos. So the so usually we have a klal, machlekes and teisus and gitten daf ches on the base. Would we permit shvuz the shvuz by makam mitzvah? You're going to ask on Nachri, there's the Gemara in Eridan, there was a bris on Shabbos, a baby boy is born on Shabbos. So next Shabbos, this bris was scheduled for next Shabbos. Mila Bizman is Decha Shabbos. And in the days of the Gemara, the practice was that they had to bathe the baby with warm water before and after the bris, because if they wouldn't, there would be a real sakonis nefashis for a possible infection. The Shulchan Aruch writes, Rabbi Yosef Kara writes in the Shulchan Aruch, that in the 1500s, he lived in Tzfat. This consideration no longer was a problem, and they no longer bathed the baby. So just because it was a sakana in the days of Gemara, Bizman is that we don't assume that it's a sakana. Okay. But in the days of Gemara, it was an issue. So let's say the Gemara in Erevin tells us that Hoyenuke, it was a baby who was supposed to have a bris on Shabbos, and they prepared hot water in advance. Ishtapechamime, all of the hot water got spilled out by accident. So you can't do the bris, because you can't begin to do the bris unless you bathe the baby with warm water in advance. But there are other apartments where they do have hot water. But there was a chotzer that had a mechitza around it. So Menatora, once you have a mechitza around the chotzer, even though many different batim there, and each family lives in a different bayis, but Menatora, everything is one big Rishu Sayochid. Rishu Sayochid is the same. Whether Reuven's family lives there, Shimon's family lives there, or the hallway going from one apartment to the other, Minatar, it's mutter to carry. But Shlomo HaMelech made a takana that you're not allowed to carry in a chotzer sheinim u'rebis, unless you make an eruv chotzer, it's fine. So there was the case was that the baby was going to have, who needed the bris, was in one apartment. The hot water was in another apartment, and they didn't make an eruv chotzer in advance of Shabbos. So Minatar, even if a Jew will carry the water from one apartment to the other, it's at the gomer. It's only an Issa de Rabbanim. And if I ask a Nachri to do a Malacha for me, that's only with the Rabbanim. So this is what we call a Shvuz de Shvuz. I'm asking a Nachri to carry an Achotzer Shenim or Rebis. It's only prohibited based on a combination of two Gzeris de Rabbanim. It's also because Amir and Nachri is also in Rabbanim. And if you have a Achotzer Shenim or Rebis, you didn't make an Eruv Chatzeris, you're not allowed to carry. So the Gemara says, a Shvuz de Shvuz, but Mokka Mitzvah's Mila is Mutta. The Tosfos in Gittin on Daf Ches and the Beis has a machlokes, two opinions. Is that only by Bris Mila? Because Bris Mila is so chomer that the actual Bris itself is a malocha deraisa. And it's Deicha Shabbos if it's Mila Bizman. If it's Mila Shla Bizman, it's Takana Deicha Shabbos. So there's a big machlokes in Perek Ablezer. The Mila Ablezer is of the opinion not only the actual bris mila are you allowed to be mechal Shabbos, even machshirin mila, even to carry the knife or to carry the baby or to manufacture a knife on Shabbos, that's called machshirin mila. The hachanas that are going to lead up to the mila also deicha Shabbos. So we don't paskin like Reb Lezer. So Tosh says, yeah, but still mila is more chomer than most mitzvahs. Mila bizmana is deicha Shabbos, and maybe if you have a mila bizmana, which is so chomer, they were makel on shvuz de shvuz b'maka mitzvah. What if it's some other mitzvah, not as chomer as mila? Maybe then shvuz de shvuz would be also even b'maka mitzvah. So there are two opinions in Tosfos. In Shulchan Aruch, the accepted opinion is lahakel, that any shvuz de shvuz b'maka mitzvah is mutar. Some of the Galatiana Achronim came up with an einfall, that shvuz de shvuz b'maka mitzvah is only usur if it's amir liyakom ana derabbanan. What if there's no amir liyakom? A Jew is going to do a pula or asura, but it's only also because of a combination of two dinim derabbanan. But neither of the dinim derabbanan is amir liyakum. So some of the Galatian Achrenin came up with a chiddush that shvuz the shvuz b'maka mitzvah is only a kula if it's amir liyakum on a derabbanan. But if I myself am going to do something that's a shvuz the shvuz, that will be also even a maka mitzvah. So Chacham Avadya shows very correctly, I think, from Taisus and all over the place and other Rishonim Feirush, it's not so. Shvuz the shvuz, maka mitzvah, you don't even need any of them. Has to be an amir liyakim. Even if everything is done by the Yisrael, if it's a double derabbanan, if the activity that he's doing is only forbidden by the derabbanan, based on a combination of two derabbanan, so that's the din. Shvuz the shvuz, maka mitzvah is mutter. So the Avnei Nezer he raises the following question. Let's say a person is a bari with a mechesh bialma. Has a slight headache, that it's a little annoying. So, not only do we permit shvuz the shvuz b'makam mitzvah, shvuz the shvuz b'makam hefsid meruba, shvuz the shvuz b'makam tzarakadol, we're also makam. So let's say the person has he has this annoying ache and pain, and he's not allowed to take refuah. So instead of him applying the refuah, he'll ask Anochri, you put the medication on my body, and the situation will get better. Is that called the shvuz de shvuz? But if I myself apply the medication on my body, I'm in violation of the gzeira refuah. You're not allowed to do a maisa hamarape. But if I ask a goy to do something that's forbidden, so that lowers it, maybe that should lower it to the level of a shvuz de shvuz from makam mitzvah, so it should be mutter. So the Eglei Tal writes, he thinks that that's not correct. When do you say, Bamedvar Mamurim, when do you say that if you ask a Nochri to do something that you're not allowed to do, it lowers the level? If it was an Issa Derais and Yeska Nochri, it becomes only Asama Derabbanan. If it was an Issa Derabbanan in the first place, Yeska Nochri becomes the Shvuz Deshvuz, a double Derabbanan, because you're not doing it in person. The only time you can violate an Issa Malacha is if you do a Maisa Malacha. There's no Malacha B'Shevi Altasa. You have to do a Maisa Malacha. So if Yeska going to do it, you didn't do it, so it lowers the level to a Derabbanan and to a double Derabbanan. So he says, Bamei Dvarim Amurim, when do you say that asking a goy to do it lowers a level and makes it into a shvuz de shvuz? That's if you're talking about a malacha. But refuah de Shabbos is not even a malacha, even with the furthest stretch of the imagination. What are you going to say? A person pops a pill in his mouth and he swallows it, he's in violation of tochein. Why he's not doing any tchina at all? It's a gzeir Hashem ayovale de tchina. That's what we gave different mishalim. Let's say you're not allowed to climb on a tree on Shabbos, Exerim Shema Yachtach Zmora. So what are you going to say? Whoever climbs on a tree is in violation of Kotzer, because he didn't break off a branch. It's Exerim Shema. It may lead to Kotzer. Or you're not allowed to play piano on Shabbos, Exerim Shema Yisakin Klisha. He may hear that the piano is off key, or a guitar, and hear that it's off key, and he may fix it. He knows how to fix it on his own. So if you fix a broken guitar, that's a malacha of makabah patish. But to say that you're not allowed to play a piano because playing a piano is makabah patish mederabbanan, it's not even makabah patish mederabbanan. The authority of the chachamim to make all of it and hilchos Shabbos, their malachas deraisa, and then the chachamim introduced a million and one prohibitions mederabbanan. So all of the gzeiros derabbanan are all based on the pasuk, the concluding pasuk in Parsha Sachei Moses, Shmatemis Mishmarti. The Gemara Yevamos on Daf Chafalav says, Asum Mishmeris on Mishmarti. That's the opening Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, Anshei Knesset HaGdola, Hei Mom, Shlosh Dvarim. And one of them was, Asei Siog LaTorah, the Anshei Knesset HaGdola, and the Bayi Sheni, they introduced many, many Siogim, many Asei Siog LaTorah. That was one of the Hei Mom, Shlosh Dvarim. They had three mottos. So that was one of their main mottos. You should make a lot of Siogim. Ruba de Ruba of the Xeris were made during the Bayi Sheni period. The Alter Rebbe, the first Lubavitch Rebbe, has a drasha in the section on drashas on Rosh Hashanah. He quotes some of the Achrayim assume that the Gzeirah deRabba, that you're not allowed to blow shofar when Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos, was already introduced during the lifetime of Moshe Rabbeinu. So he thinks that that's not correct, because the Gemara seems to have learned it out from a pasuk. So he says, nah, that's ridiculous. Everybody knows that all the Gzeirahs deRabbanan were made in the Bayi Sheni period. But the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah wasn't made in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu. Then he gives a whole reason based on Kabbalah considerations why there was a greater need for Gzeiris in the Bayi Sheni period than in the Bayi Rishon period. I didn't understand it, but he gives a whole discussion why. So, all of the prohibitions that they made with the Rabbanah, let's say Basar B'chol of their rice is only Basar, and chicken, wheat, paskin is only Asim with the Rabbanah. And Menatar, it's only also if the meat and the milk are cooked together. And if it's only soaked together, if you're eating it together, Kovish Kamulshel is only Midrabbanim. If you eat fleshiks and milchiks together, that was never cooked together, it's only also Midrabbanim. So all of these Yisurim Midrabbanim are all the authority of the Chachamim to make all the Gzeiris, because they're concerned that Asesiog La Torah, if you don't make a fence around the Torah, next thing you know, people will violate the Din Derais. So when they made all the Gzeiris, they had the right to make it. It's a gzera, shema. You're concerned it may lead to Yisurim. But on Hilcha Shabbos, some of the gzeras they declared are malachas midrabbanan, and others, even with the furthest stretch of the imagination, they can't declare that it's a malacha. What are you going to say? Applying refuah b'Shabbos is a violation of tochen, but he didn't grind anything. Climbing on a tree on Shabbos is an iser of kotzer on Shabbos. He didn't do kotzer, and so on and so forth. Playing the piano, you can't say it's makabah pad. He didn't fix any. Piano's not broken, he didn't fix it. It's a gzera shema. It may be broken, and he may go and fix it. So there's a difference. This is what the Agle Tel explains. In malachas, there's a cloud. There's no malacha b'shevi al tasa. We'll have to see many cases in the Gemara, in the Shulchan Aruch, this is going to come up. You can only violate a malacha deraisa b'kum b'yasei. If you do a malacha b'shevi al tasa, that there's no isa malacha. If you ask a nochri to do a malacha for you, so on the level of deraisa, he didn't do a kum b'yasei. So, that can't be an Issa Deraisa. So the Egle Tal explains, when do you say that asking a Nochri to do the activity for you lowers the level and makes it into the Rabbanon, or makes it into a Shvuz de Shvuz? If it's already a Rabbanon to begin with, so makes it into a double the Rabbanon. That's only if the activity that you're talking about is a Malacha. So yes, you're going to do it. Since you didn't do it by a dime, you can't be in violation of a malacha b'shev altas. You didn't do the maisa malacha, the nachri did it. So then it lowers it. But refuah is not a malacha even with the rabbanon. It's only a gzera with the rabbanon. Shema yishachik samamanim. It cannot be declared as a malacha de rabbanon. He didn't do any trina. It can't be. It's not a malacha de rabbanon. It's a gzera with the rabbanon. So in gzera is, there is no such klal that you can only violate exer b'kum b'yaseh. There are exeris that you violate b'shev v'al taseh. Take for example, I leave food on the fire on Erev Shabbos without a blech. So we'll have to learn the dinim. Sometimes it's mutter, sometimes it's aser. But when it's aser, when do you violate the iser? When you put the food on the fire on Erev Shabbos, half an hour before. It's Erev Shabbos, you didn't violate anything. When Shabbos enters and my food is now on the fire without a blech, I'm in violation of the Issa, that's called Shehiyah, to leave food on the fire without a blech. Sometimes you don't need a blech, we'll have to learn the Din. So when you need a blech and you leave your food is on the fire without a blech, then you're a violation of the Issa. So that's a Gzeira. Shehiyah is Asma Rabban, Gzeira Shema Yechata Bigacholim. One who's Chote Bigacholim, one who pokes around in the coals, I think Gemara in Krisis quotes a Braise, is and usually will be in violation of a double malacha. He does mechabe and mavir. Some of the coals, when you have burning coals, some of the coals will be orange, really burning hot, then others will be black. They'll be hot, but they won't be orange. So when you poke around in the coals, some of the coals that were orange will turn black. Some of the coals that were black will turn orange. So those that turn orange, that's called Havara. And those that were orange, and you cause them to become black, that's called Mechaba. So the Gemara says, Achote b'gecholim on Shabbos b'shoigeg is chayiv shtei chatois, because that's called Chiluk Malachas. He did two Malachas. He did Mechaba on Mavir. So he's chayiv two chatois on Shabbos. So you can't say, what are you going to say? Whoever leaves food on the fire on Erev Shabbos is in violation of Mechaba on Mavir. He didn't violate Mechaba on Mavir. It's Gzeira Shema. And may he Shema Yechata b'gecholim, and if he'll be Mechata b'gecholim, then he will be in violation of both Mechaba and Mav. But if he's not Chayta b'gecholim, he didn't do anything wrong. So the answer is, Shehi is Aser, because it's a Gzeira. So Gzeiras can be violated even b'shei b'altas. It all depends how the Tanoim, how the Chachamim formulated the Gzeira. Sometimes they formulated the Gzeira that it can only be violated b'shei b'altas. Sometimes they formulated the Gzeira that it can even be violated sometimes it can only be violated by Kumbi Asay. Sometimes it can even be violated by Shei Valtas. So let's say the Gzeira of Refu is a Gzeira. It's not even a Malach Madrabon. So the Eglital writes a Chiddush. If I ask Anoch, I have a pain over here, and if I ask Anoch to apply some medication, so the pain will go away. And it's a pain, it's only a mechesh bialma. It doesn't prevent me from functioning. Normally I can function, but I want to get rid of the pain. So we would allow shoes to shoes, b'mokum tzorech. So is that considered shoes to shoes? Ask the nochri to place the medication on my hand. So he says he doesn't think so. The fact that the nochri is placing the medication, refuah b'shabbos is an isa gzeirah. It's not a malacha, even with the rabbanu. So if I ask a guy to do it, sof kol sof, it's the gzeira shem yishachik samamanim. I may grind up the samamanim in order to have it placed on my hand, in order to have it placed on my body. It's my direct violation. If the nochri does it on my behalf, I ask him to do it on my behalf, doesn't lower it to the level of a shuz v'shuz. It's the original violation of refuah of the Shabbos. Asking the nochri doesn't make it more calm. Take, for example, the Mishnah Brura quotes the Mabit. The Mabit was a contemporary of Rabbi Yosef Karo. They were together in the Bezdin in Tzfat in the 1500s. I guess 98% of all the issues they probably agreed on. It went down in history. They had famous machlokes. A lot of famous disputes that Rabbi Yosef Karo had with the Mabit. And several of them have to do with Shemitah, the leader of Shemitah. And the Chazon Ish, Paskans like the Mabit, against Rabbi Yosef Karo. He thinks that the Mabit was greater than Rabbi Yosef Karo. Whatever, most do not follow that Chazon Ish. So the Mabit came up with the following Chiddush. Let's say you have fully cooked food in the refrigerator, and you want to take it out of the refrigerator, put it on the fire in order to warm it up again on Shabbos. So the Minat Torah, the food is fully cooked. The chicken, the kugel, everything is fully cooked. So Minat Torah, the dinner is Ein Bishul LaHabishul. But the Rabbanan, you're not allowed to do that. So what's the Yisr, the Rabbanan? If ain't Bishul HaBishul, because the food is fully cooked already, the Yisr Bishul is take raw food, take raw potatoes, take raw chicken, you cook it, you make it edible. But if it already is edible, it's just that it's cold. It'll taste even better if it'll be warm and hot. So that's Minatar, that's ain't Bishul HaBishul. The Rabbanan, they prohibit it. What's the nature of the Yisr? That's called HaChazara. To reheat food on Shabbos, take it out of the refrigerator, put it on top of the fire. Even if you have a blech, it's only mutter. If it was on the blech from before Shabbos, you took it off and you're still holding it, and you put it back on. So what's the nature of the Issa? So that's a big machloikas. The Aras HaMeach has a whole piece. Ram Soloveitchik said this over on his own, this whole idea that the Aras HaMeach has, there's a fundamental machloikas between the Chachmei Ashkenaz and the Chachmei Svarad. What's the nature of the prohibition of HaChazor? So the Chachmei Svarad were of the opinion, the Ramban and the Rashba and the Ritva and the Mechaber, Paskins like that, that the Yisur of HaChazorah is Mechzike Mevashal, means that it's Bishul Midirabban, even a Menatara ain't Bishul HaChabishul, you're not cooking it, it's Roy Lachilo already, but Midirabban, you say Yesh Bishul HaChabishul, even though it's a double gush, Yesh Bishul HaChabishul Midirabban. And there are more paskins like the Rabbeinu Tam and Tosfos, like the Baalei HaTosfos, who agree with the Rabbeinu Tam, that even with the Rabbanan, the din is ein bishul ha bishul. It's only a gzeira shem yechatim. So it's a fundamental machlokes between the Chachmei Sfarad and the Baalei HaTosfos. And the Or Samech shows, Rav Soloveitchik had all these rais also, he shows that the Tosfos says it clearly in a few places, that the Isur of HaChazorah is not because of Bishul Midrabanan, it's because Shem Yechatim. So the Mabit has the following Chiddush. Let's say, I forgot to put the cholent up for Shabbos. I don't have anything hot to eat on Shabbos. I'm going to take out food from the refrigerator. It tastes good, but it'll taste much better if it'll be warm. So if I will put it on top of the fire myself, the whole Issa will only be an Issa de Rabbanon, because Minatari and Bishol HaBishol. So if I ask a goy to reheat the food, that should be a Shvuz de Shvuz. So Shvuz de Shvuz, B'makam Mitzvah, we paskin his mutter. So the Mabit says, Enachinami, if you didn't arrange, you shouldn't rely week in, week out. Every week you're going to rely on that. You can ask a goy to reheat your food. That's not right. Shvuz de Shvuz, B'makam Mitzvah, it's an emergency hat. If it comes up once in a while, B'mikre. Let's say a person buys an apartment on the 25th floor in Trump Towers, and every week he's going to rely on Shvuz de Shvuz B'mokam Mitzvah, ask a goy to take him up in the elevator, even if he'll push the button himself on the elevator. Most of the poskim assume that it's only Makab HaPatish Midrabanan. The elevator is not broken, he's just putting a system in motion, and then it keeps on going. So most assume, not like the Chazon Ish, that's only Makab HaPatish Derabbanan. So if you ask a goy to take you up in the elevator, that should be a Shvuz de Shvuz. And it's a Makam Mitzvah. Instead of climbing up 25 flights, you'll be out of breath. It'll take you a long time. You'll be exhausted. So that should be a Heter, because so it's Mutter. Shvuz de Shvuz, Makam Mitzvah is Mutter. But Lachatrila, to move in, to buy an apartment on the 25th floor, to rely on the Kula every single Shabbat, that's not right. Rav Soloveitchik was officially the rabbi of Moriah, so he would stay there once in a while. He would stay in the neighborhood by Balabatim, and they would live on a higher floor, so he would go with them in the elevator, and the goy would take them up. That was a heter, Shvuz de Shvuz B'makam Mitzvah. But his son Chaim commented that he doesn't think his father would have done it if they would go every single Shabbos. If he would stay there in Manhattan every single Shabbos to rely every single week on the Kula Shvuz de Shvuz B'makam Mitzvah, that's not right. Once in a while, it's an emergency heter if you get stuck. So let's say a person forgot to prepare, or something went wrong, so he forgot to prepare warm food for Shabbos. Would we permit him to ask his goyish neighbor, please take the food out of the refrigerator and put it on top of the blech to reheat it for me? Even if I myself reheated it, it's only the Rabbanon, because ain't bishalach bishal, and he's asking a goy. So the Amir al-Akhmin should lower the level. So the Mabit writes that that's permissible. The Mabit writes that it's permissible. The Shari Tshuva, next to the Behetiv in the Shulchan Aruch, Shari Tshuva quotes this in the Tshuvas of the Mabit, of the Maharit. So the Shari Tshuva comments, that's what the Maharit says, but when you read the Ramah and the Taz in the Magen Avraham, you get the distinct impression that they don't agree. They don't say explicitly, not so, but they talk about what happens if you get stuck on Shabbos, you don't have warm food. So nobody gives this etzah. Ask a goy to reheat the food. It's a shvuz to shvuz makam. Nobody says that. So that's what the Shari Tshuva writes from the Ramah and the Taz and the Magen Avraham. Would appear that they don't hold like that heter. Why not? So the Chazon Ish explains why. The only time Amir Eliakim lowers the level of the Yisr, if it was the Raisi, ask a goy to do it, it becomes the Rabbanon. If it was the Rabbanon to begin with, the lowers it, it becomes a Shvuz de Shvuz. And Shvuz de Shvuz B'makam Mitzvah is Mutter. To have warm food, to enjoy the food better, is a Shvuz de Shvuz B'makam Mitzvah is Mutter. B'amed v'amamurim, if I'm asking the Nochri to do a Malachim. So according to the Maharit, the Maharit was of the opinion, like the Chachmei Svarad, he was a Svardi, he's following in the tradition of the Ramban and the Rashbo and the Ritvo and the Ran, all the Chachmei Svarad hold like that, that the issur of hachazara on Shabbos to reheat food is a malach abishal midirabbanim. Even a menatera and bishal achabishal midirabbanim, we say yesh bishal achabishal. So if he asks a goy to reheat the food, he asks a goy to do the malach abishal midirabbanim for you. So that lowers it to the level of a shuz, the shuz, a shuz, a shuz, mocha mitzvah is mutter. So the maharit makes sense. But the Ramah and the Taz and the Magen Avraham followed the Shitas Balei HaTosfos, that the Isur of HaChazara on Shabbos is a gzeira, Shema Yechat B'Gecholim. It's not a Melach Med Rabbanon at all. It's not Bishal because then Bishal Achad Bishal even Med Rabbanon. And it can't be, you can't say that he's Avraham Mechabo Mavir. He wasn't Chayt to B'Gecholim. He's not allowed to be Machzi, he's not allowed to do HaChazara on Shabbos, unless it was on the blech, and all the conditions to allow hachazara. If you have a kettle on and you pour some tea, you're allowed to put the kettle back. That's hachazara, that's mutter. So the prohibition of hachazara is exera derabbanan. So even if you ask a goy to do the hachazara for you, it doesn't lower the level of the yisur. It doesn't become a shuz de shuz. My food is being replaced on top of my blech, on my behalf. So that's the chashash, Shem Yechat B'Gecholim. It's a direct gezeira midrabbanan, Shem Yechat B'Gecholim. The fact that I asked the goy to do it doesn't lower the level of the yisur. The only time asking the nochri lowers the level is if you're talking about a malacha. But hachazar is not a malacha, it's a gezeira. So it all depends how the chachamim formulated the gezeira. So the chazanish has a whole argument. He thinks that the gezeira of hachazar is violated directly, even if the goy puts it on the fire on his own. I didn't even ask him. My next neighbor comes in, and he takes my food out of the refrigerator, he puts it on top of my blach. When I see that it's on the blach, I have to take it off. Even I didn't even ask him to do it. He does it on my behalf. So that's my, the gzera is on me. Shami yechat to b'gecholam. So that's the same as what the Eg Lital says about refuah of the Shabbos. The refuah is a gzera midrabbanan. It's not even a malacha. So even if I'll ask a nochri to put the medication on my hand, that it should take away the aches and the pains, it doesn't lower the issa to the level of a shuz the shuz. It's my direct violation. In Shulchan Aruch, they give, the Mechaba has this, and the Magen Avraham has this. If there's a Sheva Brachas on Shabbos, and the Minhag HaMakom is that they always play music at the Sheva Brachas, so the Mechaba writes, it's permissible to ask a goy to play music on Shabbos because it's a shvuz d'shuz b'makam mitzvah, simchas chasam v'kala. If the common practice is that you have a lot of time Sheva Brachas in the weekdays and you don't play music, they just sing and they dance and they eat, they don't play music, so it's not called the shvuz d'shuz b'makam mitzvah. You can be mekayim the Sheva Brachas without music. But if the meaning of makam is that they always have music, so then to ask a goy to play music by Sheva Brachas on Shabbos would be a shvuz d'shuz b'makom mitzvah. That's what the whole heter was at the beginning of the Reform movement. So they allowed the goyish pianist or the goyish musician to play the organ in the shul to enhance the davening. Because even if the Jew will play the organ, it's only the Rabbanan. It's mashmiya kol to play a musical instrument. And if you ask a goy to do the mashmiya kol, that's a shvuz de shvuz. And they felt that it enhances the davening. People were attracted to the Reform synagogues because they were imitating the churches, that they had the organ playing. And like in the Beis HaMikdash, they had musical instruments playing on the weekdays. So they felt that this would be a shvuz de shvuz from makom mitzvah. So this is the Mechaber writes like that, and the Magen Avraham writes like that. But the common practice is that we don't allow it. We don't allow Amir Eliakim to play music by Sheva Brachas, and we assume it's not proper to ask a goyish musician to play an organ in the shul. What's wrong with the heter? Shvuz de shvuz b'makom mitzvah. So to do it every single week, that's what we said, that's not really right. It's supposed to be an emergency heter. Okay, so you won't do it every week, only once in a long while. But what's wrong? So the answer is that playing music is not even a malach midrabbanan. Playing music is a gzeira shemi yisakhan play shir. Can't say that whoever plays a piano is in violation of misakhan mona. The piano is not broken and he didn't fix anything. It's a gzeira shemi. It may lead to fixing. So since it's Gzeira, some Gzeiras, there is no such klal that you can't violate Gzeira b'shei b'al taseh. It all depends. Each Gzeira is individual. You have to judge each Gzeira. How did the Chachamim, how did the Tanoim formulate the Gzeira? Did they formulate the Gzeira in such a way that you're only in violation of the Gzeira if you do a kumbi asay? Then if you ask a goy to do it, you're lowering the level. But if the nature of the Gzeira is such that it can be violated, b'shei b'al taseh, even if you ask a goy, it's your direct violation of the Gzeira. So that's an important klal. That's an important klal.
According to the Ma'arid, why do you have to put it on a blech? Why can't the Nachri put it on the fire?
Yes.
Probably can.
Yes.
And Achenami. But even if there is a blech, I'm not allowed to put it on. But once I ask the Nachri to put it on, it'll be a shuz de shuz, even if there's no blech. That is correct. That is correct. Yes, Nachon. Yes. So that's an important idea, that we don't always apply the klal of shruz de shruz b'makamitzim. Historically, that's how the heta started in the Reform synagogues. First, they ask a nochri to play the organ in the shul based on shruz de shruz b'makamitzim. That's mamish and the mechaber and the Magen Avram. They say by asking a goy to play music at the sheva brachas. So that was based on that. And then years went by. And then they allowed, even if a Jewish person will play the organ. Why? I bet it's not a shuz, the shuz mocha mitzvah. So they said, no, because playing music is only exer de rabbanon, and ein shuz ba migdosh. Ein shuz ba migdosh in the Gemara means there's no exer de rabbanon in the base of migdosh. How do they know that even in a shul, which is a migdosh miyat, how do they know that even ein shuz ba migdosh even applies in a migdosh miyat? So they said it's enough in a sif in Shulchan Aruch. When it says in Shulchan Aruch, that when something is mukta, you're not allowed to handle it. It means you're not allowed to move it. What about to touch something that's mukta? Let's say I'm touching the computer now. To touch something that's mukta. So if it's a light item, that if you touch it, it'll shake easily, shake. So then you're not allowed to even touch it carefully because you may, by mistake, cause it to shake, and that's awesome. So the Ramos says, but the Benuris HaGadolish of the Beis HaKnesses used to have gigantic candelabra in the shul that were very heavy and very hard to move. So he said, that you're allowed to touch on Shabbos because it's so heavy, if you're going to touch it, it's not going to shake and it's not going to move by itself. So the Reform Poskim said, it's a Beferish Ramos that the Isser of Muktzah doesn't apply to Beis HaKnesses. Why? Because Ein Shvuz Ba'Migdosh. That's not the reason that the Ramah gave. The Ramah gave a different reason. Because Menorah HaGdolos is so heavy, so if it's a very heavy item, there's no chashash that lightly it's going to move it, it's going to shake it. So they gave a different explanation. They said the Ramah is paskening that Ein Shuz Ba'Migdosh carries over from the Beis HaMigdosh to every shul, because every shul is a Migdosh Meya. Yeah. Unfortunately, that's the Hishtal Shul Sadvar.
The Rav said that they didn't play instruments in the Beis HaMikdash, but on Shabbos. But I thought Shabbos was for Mikdash. Why wouldn't they?
It's a good question. We only say Shabbos by Mikdash if it's very important for the Hakrobas Hakrobonis. Here you can be say the Gemara says there's a Machlekes Hatanoim. There is a din that you need Shira. When the Kohanim are pouring the Nisach HaYayin down the Shisim, down the pipes in the Mizbeach, that's when the Levim are supposed to sing Shira. So the Gemara in Sukkah, the Gemara in Erechin, has a Machlokes in the Gemara, whether Ika Shira B'Peh or Ika Shira B'Kli. Are you Yotzei the Din Darais of Shira only if you play musical instruments? Or do you say no? It's really good Shira even if the Levim sing. And the Shira Bikli is only Levasume Kola, that it should even sound better. So if it's Ika Shira Bikli, you're just not Yotze the Mitzvah of Shira, unless you play music. So then the Gemara says we would permit playing the music when the Levim sing the Shira B'Shas Nisach HaYayin. That's a din every day in the year when you do the Nisach HaYayin, they have to say Shira. So the Ika Shira Bikli, it's Ein Shvuz B'Migdash, you can't fulfill the Mitzvah without the musical accompaniment. But if you hold the kashir of the peh, and the kli is only lebasume kolo, that it should be lemahadrim and lemahadrim, it should be a hida mitzvah, So then the Gemara says you can really fulfill the mitzvah of Shira without the kli. So then you don't apply the rule of Ein Shavuos B'Mikdash. You have a lot of exceptions to the rule. We have a lot of cases where there were gzeiros d'rabbanan. Taisus points out a lot of exceptions.
Why not just say, like we said before, that it's Mashmiya Kol it's not a shvus, it's a takana. So Mikdash, that's for malachas, but this is a takana. Why not answer that way?
A gzera should be more kal, no?
But it
should be more kal.
5 minutes ago, when you spoke about going down two levels, where sometimes we go down two levels and it becomes mutar, but by gzera we don't go down two.
It's right. Because it's a gzera, so therefore there is no cloud that has to be bekum b'yaseh. Malachas can only be violated bekum b'yaseh. Gzeras can sometimes be violated even b'shevi al taseh. There is no cloud that a gzera can only be violated bekum b'yaseh. So by malachas, that it can only be violated bekum b'yaseh. Once yes, can nochri to do it, it lowers the level of the yisur, it becomes shvuz the shvuz, it becomes a derabban. But if you violate a gzera, asking the Nochri doesn't always lower the level. It depends what the nature of the Gzeira was. So that happens to be, that's a chumra that usually Gzeiras have kulas. It's more kal than a malocha. In this respect, the Gzeira has a chumra, that since you don't require, in order to violate the Gzeira, you don't require that you should do something, the kumbi asay. So therefore, if you ask a goy, it may be that it's a direct violation of the Gzeira. It doesn't make it into a gzeira l'gzeira. It doesn't make it into a double derabanan, right? There's an important machlokes to Taz in the Shach in Yerideya in Hilchas Nida that comes up in Hilchas Shabbos as well. In Hilchas Nida, a woman who has to go to Mikvah on Friday night has to prepare in advance. She has to comb her hair, make sure there are no knots in the hair on Erev Shabbos. We assume that combing the hair is a psikresha of ripping out one of the hairs. That's a gozes. If you cut off hair, it's gozes. If you cut off fingernails, it's a malacham gozes. So if a person is going to comb his hair on Shabbos, so we assume that that's probably a psikresha that some hair is going to get ripped out. So you're not allowed to comb your hair. So if a woman has to go to mikvah on Friday night, at Leil Yantam, so she can comb her hair on Erev Shabbos. What about cutting the fingernails? So the fingernails, strictly speaking, are not chatzitzes. The fingernails are part of the body. But if the nails are so long that the woman would be interested in cutting them off, so then there's a chumrah from the Ravid that kolay midligzlis kigozes dami, since the nail is too long and the woman would have cut it off, so it's considered as if that extra part of the nail is not part of the body, and that's a chatzitz on the tip of the nail that's going to remain on the body. So that's a chumrah that the married women, before they go to mikveh, if the nails are a little too long, they should cut the nails. So you have to cut the nails on Erev Shabbos. Erev Yantav, you shouldn't cut the nails on Shabbos or Yantav. So what if a woman has to go to mikveh on Friday night in Leil Yantav? She forgot to cut her nails from before. So it says in the Shulchan Aruch, the Rama says, let her get a nochris to cut the nails for her, and that's a shvuz de shvuz b'maka mitzvah, because we assume that tefillah b'zmana is a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah to go to mikveh the earliest available opportunity. That's a big question whether that's really so. Do we really hold tefillah b'zmana mitzvah or not? But for these purposes, we assume that yes. So the woman wants to go to mikveh as early as possible to be mutaris labailo. She does want to sin. And if you cut off nails and you throw the nails in the garbage, that's called a malocha shen tzvicha legufa. Malocha tzvicha legufa is, let's say, I pluck off fruits from the tree and I'm going to eat the fruits. But if I pluck off fruits from the tree and I throw it in the garbage, I'm not going to use the toeles, not going to use the chidush, what was accomplished by the malacha. I carry something on Shabbos from my house to the shul. So if I have, let's say, I leave my wallet in my jacket and I walk to shul. But on Shabbos, I'm not going to, let's say this, it's a Rishus HaRabim, there I sit there. But I'm not going to use the wallet on Shabbos. I'm not going to spend money to buy anything. I just left the wallet in my, I leave money in my pocket, but I'm not going to use the money, not here and not there. So I carried for no good purpose whatsoever. So that's called a malacha shein svicha legufa. When is it called a malacha svicha legufa? I carry something from the Rishus HaYachid to the Rishus HaRabim because I want to use it in the Rishus HaRabim. I want to carry a handkerchief in case I have to wipe my nose over there. So I'm carrying it in order to use it over there. But if I carry it, I don't plan to use it at all. I have a wallet in the pocket. I'm not going to use the wallet on Shabbos. So that's a malacha shein svicha legufa. So if you cut off fingernails, you can throw them in the garbage. To begin with, that if you cut off nail, they cut off hair. Let's say when you give the baby the first haircut, so you cut off the lockets of hair, and usually the minhag olam is that you save the little lockets of hair that you cut off. So that's a malacha, tzricha legufa. You're cutting off the hair and you're going to save it. But if you're going to cut off the fingernails and throw them, flush them down the toilet, you're going to throw them in the garbage. So that's a malacha shein tzricha legufa. So if you ask a nochri to cut off the nails, cutting off nails is a malacha of gozes. So if you ask a guy to do the malacha, that makes it into shvus the shvus. Amir la nachri is only the rabbanon, and malacha shein tzvicha leguf is only the rabbanon. So it's a double the rabbanon. So in order to go to the mikveh at the right time, that's considered a shvus the shvus. Malka mitzvah is muta. That's what the Rama says. And the same Rama appears, that's in Yeridei and Hilchas Nida. And the Rama and Hilchas Shabbos has the same. A person has pain. He has trouble with the tooth. And he has a lot of pain from the tooth. So he goes to a goyish doctor to pull out the tooth, if that's the solution, to pull out the tooth. So when you pull out the tooth, there's going to be a lot of bleeding. There's going to be a bleeding is a malacha. To cause bleeding is a malacha. It's a big discussion in the Rishonim. What malacha is it? We'll have to talk about that some other time. But the Mishnah assumes that causing bleeding, to cause a chabura, chavola b'shabbos, chabura b'shabbos, is a malacha deraisa. But if a person is chovel and he's going to use the blood for something, let's say you take blood from a person, you're going to test it to see if he has cancer, or test it to see if he has some sickness. So that's a malacha tzricha legufa. He detaches the blood from the circulatory system, that's chabura, and he's going to use the blood for some purpose or another. He's going to give a blood transfusion to someone else. So he did a malacha and he's going to use the blood. So that's a malacha tzricha legufa. But if you just pull out the tooth and there's going to be a lot of bleeding, it's a psikresha, there's vada going to be a lot of bleeding, but he's not going to use the blood at all. So that's a malacha shein tzricha legufa. So if you ask a goy to pull out the tooth, that's a shvus the shvus for makam tzaragodl. It's not a makam mitzvah, it's a makam tzaragodl because he's in pain. So we would allow that. So that's what it says in the Rama and Hilchas Shabbos, to ask a goy to pull out the tooth is a shvus the shvus per makam tzaragodl, and to ask the goy to cut off the fingernails that the woman should be able to go to the mikvah on Leil Shabbos is a shvus the shvus per makam mitzvah. So the Taz, Taina, is that it's wrong. Taz argues that it's wrong, and the Shach defends the position of the Shach. So the Taz argues there's a din in Maseches Makis in the third parak, Elohein Haloikin, that if you shave off your payas with a razor, you get malchus. No, zakifu pias roshchem pias konecha lo yigalechu. You're not allowed to shave off with a razor. So what if I go to the barbershop and I don't give him any instructions, and he gives me a haircut? I just sit there. He gives me a haircut and he shaves off my payas. He shaves off my beard with a razor. So if he's a Jewish barber, so he's the makif and I'm the nikav. The makif is the one who's giving me the haircut, who's shaving off my payas with the razor. And the nikav is the one who sits there and his payas are being shaved off. So the Gemara says, if it's a Jewish barber, he gets malchus for shaving off my payas. The customer who just sits there, he didn't do anything, he doesn't get any malchus. But if the barber says, could you please lean over your head a little bit to make it easier for me to shave with a razor, and I lean over to help him, if he's misayeya, so then even the nikav is like it. So the Rishonim ask a question, but usually have a rule, Misayeya Ein Bo Mamish. Misayeya Ein Bo Mamish means like this. Let's say a person, I'll give an example, person is carrying a refrigerator. A strong person is carrying a refrigerator on his back on Shabbos. So it's a violation of Hoytzor. So I want to make it easier for him. So he's carrying this whole refrigerator. He doesn't really need me. I want to make it a little lighter, so I put my hand under the refrigerator, and as if I'm lifting it up a little bit. The way I put my hand under the refrigerator, if he wouldn't be carrying it on his back, the refrigerator would not budge. I make it slightly lighter. I take an ounce of weight off from the heavy refrigerator that he's carrying. I make it lighter for him to carry. But he can carry even without me. And if I'll do it by myself, he's not going to be carrying the refrigerator. The refrigerator's not going to budge the way I hold it, slightly on the bottom. So that's called Misayeya Ein Bo Mamash. That's not called Shnaim Shasu. If two people do a malacha together, let's say it's a table, that a light chair. There's a light chair that one person can carry all on his own. So instead of carrying it on his own, you have two people carrying the same chair. One is carrying one end, one is carrying the other end, and together they carry. So Shnaim Shasu is Potter. But if Shnaim Shasu in such a way that one is carrying it in such a way he doesn't need the other one, he's carrying the whole thing without the assistance of the other one. And the other one is carrying it in such a way that it'll only be carried if the other fellow carries with him. So it's a yochel, it's a eno yochel. So that's called Misayeya Ein Bo Mamash. Here, the custom who sits in the babbit chair, he can lean his head from today till tomorrow. If nobody's going to be holding a razor to shave off the payas are not going to go off. And Lamaisa, the barber, the Jewish barber, can shave off the payas whether I lean over or not. It's just that he'll have to lean a little bit harder. But he can accomplish everything without the patient, without the customer leaning over. The customer can't accomplish anything without the barber holding on to the razor. So the Rishonim asked the question, why do you say that if the customer leans over a little bit, Misayaya, then he's like, why don't you say Misayaya, Ein Bo Mamash? The Gemara usually said Misayaya, Ein Bo Mamash. So the Taz claims that the answer is, when do you say Misayaya, Ein Bo Mamash? If we're carrying a refrigerator, we're doing a malach on something else. But if the malach is being done on my body, the malach is being done on my body, they're cutting off my fingernails, or they're pulling out the tooth, and my gums are going to be bleeding, the malach is done on my body, then the klal misayim but mamish doesn't apply. That's why if the shaving off the Jewish barber, or the Goyish barber, doesn't make a difference, the barber is shaving off my beard with a razor, and I lean over to help a little bit, since the avera is done on my body, so the Taz says the klal misayim but mamish doesn't apply over here. So that's why he disagrees with the Ramon on Hilchas Shabbos regarding yanking out the tooth on Shabbos. Yes, a goyish dentist to pull out the tooth, the Taz holds that it's aser. That's not a heter of shus to shus b'makam tzaragadol. And he disagrees with the psak of the Ramon on Hilchas Nida that you can have the goyish woman cut off the fingernails of the girl who has to go to the mikveh. He doesn't hold for that heter of shus to shus b'makam mitzvah, because since the woman is being misayah, she stretches out her fingers, or I open up my mouth. If I don't open my mouth, the goyish dentist can't yank out the tooth. And since I help out a little bit, and the aver is done on my body, so he can't ignore me. He can't ignore me. That's what the Taz says. And the Shach says that Taz is wrong. And he quotes the Ravid, when the Rambam quotes the dinim of shaving off the payas, the Rambam has it in the Hilchas Avodah Zarah. Why did he put in Hilchas Avodah Zarah? So the Rambam writes in the Mara Nebuchim, and in the Mishnah Torah also he writes, why did the Torah prohibit shaving off the beard with a razor? Because that was the practice of the Galochim. That's why we call them Galochim. The Jews used to have a beard, and the Galochim used to shave off, the Shem Avodah Zarah, used to shave off their beard with a razor. So the Rambam puts it in Hilchas Avodah Zarah. It's from the Minhagim on Avodah Zarah. So that's why it's prohibited. So the Rambam quotes the Gemara that if the customer sits in the barbershop in the seat and he doesn't misayaya, he doesn't get malchus. But if he is misayaya, then he gets malchus. So the Ravid writes on the side of the Rambam, if the customer sits in the barbershop in the chair and he's not misayaya, he's still over an iser, because the Chumash has it written in the plural. How does it say? If you ask the Ganam lo yigalechu in the plural, nasakef pasroi shecha, I think in the singular, if you ask the Ganam lo yigalechu. So the Gemara says in the third parak in Makkos, because it's written in Chumash in the plural, it's a lav on the makif and a lav on the nikaf. If the barber is Jewish and he shaves off my beard with a razor, he gets malchus. And if I allow him to shave off my beard with a razor, I'm also over an avera. So the writer writes, even if I'm not misayaya, I'm over the lav of being a nikaf, of allowing the goyish barber, or the whoever, the Jewish barber, allowing him to shave off my beard with a razor. And if I'm misayaya, if I'm not misayaya, so I don't get malchus because it's a lav shein ba maisa. If I am misayaya, so I make the lav shein ba maisa into a lav sheyesh ba maisa. But it's not but it's not what the Taz said. The Taz said, even though usually we say misayaya ein bo mamish, it's not called. It's a yochel, it's a ena yochel. The barber can shave off the payas. Barber can shave off my beard without my assistance. Even if I don't lean over a little bit, I make it easier for him. And I can't shave off I can lean from today till next year. I can lean all I want. If there isn't going to be a barber holding onto a razor, the beard is not going to disappear. The beard is going to remain there. So it's a yochel, it's a ena yochel. So the Taz says, even though it should have been labeled Zeyach of Zeyna Yachal, so that myself cutting off the beard shouldn't relate to the person, is Zeyna Yachal. His leaning over doesn't enable the barber to shave off the beard. He can shave off the beard without me leaning. He'll lean a little bit. But that's the din that Messiah Ein Bamamsh doesn't apply whenever the Aver is done on my body. That's what the Taz says. So the Shach says, he's wrong. That's not what the din is. The Ravid says, Beferish, that even if the customer does not lean over, he's over on the lav. And Tosis Bav Metzia says the same also in the first parak of Bav Metzia. If the person is, the customer is the nikaf, and he's not misayaya, he doesn't lean over, then he's over on the lav of loisakifu, which is written in the plural. It's a lav on the makif and a lav on the nikaf. They're both in violation. But it's usually a lav she'en bo maisa. Then if he's misayaya, he makes it into a lav she'esh bo maisa. But you don't see from that din at all that misayaya yesh bo mamish when the aver is done begufi. It's not a din misayaya of ein bo mamish. He's violating the aver. But it's a lav she'en bo maisa. That's what the Shach argues with the Taz's understanding. So they quote from Rav Elvela Soloveitchik, that he thought that this machlokes, the Shach and the Taz, is really a machlokes, the Rambam and the Ravid. So the question is, the Rambam quotes the Gemara, that if I sit in the barber's chair, and the barber shaves off my face, I don't get malchus. The Rambam doesn't say whether I violated an aver or not. He just says, I don't get malchus. And if I'm a sayaya, then I do get malchus. So the Ravid writes, the Ravid has a lot of times hasogas haRavid. He disagrees with the Rambam. Over here, he doesn't say that he's disagreeing. It could be that he's just explaining the Rambam. Every so often, there is a comment of the Ravid where he doesn't mean to disagree with the Rambam. He's explaining what the Rambam meant. It's rare. Usually, the Ravid has a hasoga. He says the Rambam is wrong. He's disagreeing. Here, it's a little unclear. So the Kesef Mishnah understood that it's a machloikis, the Rambam and the Ravid, that the Rambam holds that if you're not misayaya, there's no avera at all. And the Ravid is in disagreement with the Rambam. The Ravid writes, even if the customer is not misayaya, he's over on a lav, but the lav is ein bo maisa. If he's misayaya, he makes it into a lav sheyesh bo maisa. So the Kesef Mishnah understand that this is a hasogas haRavid, and the Rambam holds that they're not over on a lav at all. Why is there no lav at all? So Rav Elvela Soloveitchik explained, there's another machlokes, the Rambam and the Ravid, that seems to be l'shitasam. The Rambam wrote a Sefer HaMitzvos. The Sefer HaMitzvah was originally written in Arabic. We who don't know Arabic, so we use the Hebrew translation. So in this, so the Rambam lists off in the Sefer HaMitzvahs all the different Taryag Mitzvahs, the Ramach Mitzvahs essay, and the Shin Samachay Mitzvahs Leis essay. So the Rambam writes, there's an Isser that the barber is over and the customer is over. There's an Isser on the Makif and the Isser on the Nikif. And he counts it as one lav, not to shave off the pays. The Ravid is masik on the Rambam. We have hasogas on the Sefer Mitzvahs. Just like we have hasogas or Ravid on the Mishnah Torah, when the Rambam has the halachas, there are a few, there are 10, 15 hasogas or Ravid on the Sefer Mitzvahs also. So the Ravid has a hasoga. He writes, lav la makif, lav la nikaf, lav la mashchis, lav la nishchas. The Rambam should have counted these as not as two mitzvahs, as four. The Rambam counts one mitzvah, you're not allowed to shave off your peyus, pasa rosh, and he says you're not allowed to shave off the beard with a razor. So he counts them as two. One is not to shave off pasa rosh, one is not to shave off pasa zokan. So the Rambam says them should be counted as four. There's a lav on a barber, not to cut off the peyus, and a lav on a customer. Then there's a lav on the barber not to cut the beard with a razor, and there's a lav on the customer not to cut. So the Rambam holds that it's all one lav, and the Rambam holds that it's two lav. So what's the machlekes? Well, the Soloveitchik said that according to the Keset Mishnah, this is a machlekes lishitosam. The Rambam holds that there's only an iser to be a makif. There's only one iser. You're not allowed to cut off the beard or the payas. But if the customer sits there, and he's not misayeya to the barber, he doesn't lean over to help the barber cut off the beard or the payas with the razor, so then the customer is not in violation of anything. If the customer is misayeya, then I say, since the aver is done begufo, I say misayeya yesh bo mamish, so the customer is considered the makif. So the Rambam doesn't count it as two lavim, lav la makif, lav la nikif. There's no lav on the nikif. There's only a lav on the makif. You're not allowed to shave off payas with a razor. You're not allowed to shave off the beard with a razor. But if the nikaf, if the customer is misayeya, he becomes a makif, because here, since the aver is done with gufos, I say misayeya yesh bo mamish. So the Rambam holds like the Taz. The Rambam seems to have understood it then like the Taz. And the Shach was quoting the Ravid, but the Keset Mishnah said the Ravid is in disagreement with the Rambam. It's not that the Ravid is explaining Pshat and the Rambam. The Ravid is disagreeing. The Rambam and the Ravid is Lishitosa, because the Ravid writes in the Sefer HaMitzvahs that it should be counted as two different lavin. Lav la makiv, lav la nikav. Lav la mashchis, lav la nishchas. There's a lav on the barber. If the barber is Jewish, there's a lav. The barber should neither shave off the peyus, nor should he shave off the beard with a razor. And there's a lav, and according to the rabbi, there's a separate lav on the customer not to allow his payas to be shaved off, not to allow his beard to be shaved off. But if he just allows them to shave it off without being misayeya, then he's in violation of the lav. But it's lav shem ma'isa ain loikemola. But he's oifan a lav. So then, if he's misayeya, he converts the lav shem ma'isa into a lav sheish ma'isa. But it's not that you say whenever it's misayeya and aver is begufi, then it's considered as if Messiah Yesh Bamamish. That's not Yesh Bamamish. According to the Rabbi, he's over there, even if he's not Messiah. Messiah makes it into a lav Yesh Bamamish. So that's what he quotes from Abdel Vola Soloveitchik, that according to the way the Keset Mishnah understood the Rabbi, that the Rabbi is disagreeing with the Rambam, he's not interpreting the Rambam, that the Rambam meant to say, if the customer sits there and he's not Messiah, the Rambam also meant to say that it's a lav. No, that's the Rabbi holds like that. And the Rambam holds that there's no lav at all. So then the Rabbi Avraham said, the way the Keset Mishnah understood the Rambam, this machlokes is the Rambam and the Ravid is lishitosam. And the Rambam holds like the Taz. And the Ravid is the one. The Ravid was quoted by the Shach. The Ravid holds like the Shach explained, that you're over the lav even without being Messiah. If you're Messiah, you make it into the Averi that you did anyway, becomes a lav sheyesh ba maisa. But it's not that you say Messiah, yesh ba mamish, it's a maisa begufa. So anyway, bottom line, the minig is like the Ramah and like the Shach, that we do allow the Nachris to cut off the fingernails. We hold that it is a Shvuz, the Shvuz B'Makam Mitzvah. We don't say, like the Taz, whenever it's Misayeya B'Gufo, so then you say Misayeya Yesh B'Mamish. We really hold not like that.
What happens if the barber is a woman? If the Makif is a woman, does it make a difference?
Yeah, the Gemara talks about the details of the dinim. I forgot. It's also a bit of a complicated story. Yeah. The Gemara has one opinion that a woman doesn't have these dinim at all. So even though she's shaving off the face of a man, she's not in violation of anything. The Gemara has a discussion. Maybe there is no lav on the makif at all. Maybe the aver on the makif is sort of lifnei iver. If the nikaf is a man, so then even if the makif is a woman, she's machshel the man to have his payas cut off. So we don't hold like that. We don't hold that the ikir iser really is on the nikaf, and the iser makif is a lifnei iver. The Gemara Nazir raises such a, there was such a possibility in the Gemara. We all that's not so. That the Isser on the Barber starts off as a separate Isser.
And if you
answer, like is the Rambam and the Raibin, is there an independent Isser on the Nikif? Or no, the Nikif becomes a Makif. If he's Messiah, he's considered as if it's a Yesh Bamam, she becomes a Makif.
I don't understand. If you throw the fingernails into the garbage can, why then a Makshim or a Chabupo? She can't go to the mikvah unless the fingernails are cut off.
No, but you're not using the result of the malach. The malach of gozes means a shear off wool from a sheep, then I'm going to use the wool to make clothing with it. If I shear off wool and I throw it in the garbage, so I'm not going to use the result of the malach. So if I cut off nails and I throw them out, so the Shulchan Aruch assumes that that's a malach shein tzricha l'gufim. The Mishnah Berurah quotes some of the Achrayim say, some Rishayim and Achrayim raise an issue, since the Malach is to detach the nails from the fingers, so that be, maybe that's called the Malach HaTzvich HaLugufa, the result is not only you cut off wool, you're going to use the wool to make a sweater. You cut off fingernails and the fingers look better. So that be, maybe that's also called Malach HaTzvich HaLugufa. So the Mishnah Berurah quotes those who argue with the Shulchan Aruch, that it's called the Malach HaTzvich HaLugufa. But we really don't hold like that. We hold from this Hetter. We hold that if you're going to throw out the nails, then it's a Malach HaShem Tzvich HaLugufa. Yeah, we discussed a little bit that the Refuah is only forbidden if it's refuah anikeris. Let's say I'm going to take a pill or something like that. Let's say there are people who enjoy drinking schnapps all the time. I don't enjoy schnapps. I don't understand why people say a broch on schnapps. I think it tastes like poison. But if I have a cold, then I'm going to take schnapps. So by me, it should be also to take schnapps if I have a cold, because that's refuah anikeris. I have a cold and I need a lot of vitamin C to get rid of the cold. So I'm going to eat a lot of oranges. Eating oranges is Michael Brim. So that's not refuah anikeris. Even though, let's say, I never eat oranges. The only time I eat oranges is when I have a cold and I need a lot of vitamin C. But that's mutter. That's not called refuah anikeris. Since there are other people who drink schnapps all the time, there are other people who eat oranges all the time, that's refuah shein anikeris. So the Gemara makes a comparison. The Issa refuah is midirabbanan. It's not an Issa deraisa. Zeresh and Mishachik Samamani. So that's the way they formulate it. They only asked refuah if it's refuah anikeris. So the Gemara has, let's say a person has a toothache, it's aching terribly. So if he'll hold alcohol in his mouth for a while, and then he'll spit it out, so this may soothe the pain. So if the person puts alcohol in his mouth and he spits it out, that's refuah anikeris. But if he puts alcohol in his mouth and then he swallows it, so then that's not refuah anikeris, that's ena nikar, because he swallowed it. Maybe if nisrapa nisrapa, if la nisrapa la nisrapa, it may help. If he's going to gargle with alcohol and spit it out, then it's refuah anikeris. But if he's going to hold alcohol in his mouth for a few seconds and then swallow it, so some people drink alcohol, then it's called refuah shen anikeris, then it's mutta. That's how they formulated these. So the Gemara gives this as a mashal for another din. The Gemara puts together these two dinim, that there's a malacha deraisa of makabah patish, misakin mona. Mona, the word mona, mem nun aleph, means a kli. So let's say I have a fork that's all bent up and it's not functional. I can't use it. So I'm going to take the fork and straighten it out and bang it down with a hammer that it should be useful as a fork. So the fork was not useful, and now I fixed it. So that's a Masakim Mana Derais. That'll probably be Masakim Mana Derais. What if I have a Kli that's Tomei, and I'm Tovel it in a Mikveh, and I make it Tohar? So now it has a use. I can use it for Dvarim Tohirim. They won't become Tomei because of the Kli. So that's a Masakim Mana Midirabbanan. On the level of Derais, it's only Masakim Mana if you made a Tikkun Mana in common sense terms. If you would ask a guy, what did he accomplish? Oh, he fixed the broken fork. The fork was not functional before. It was all bent up, and that was out of shape. And now the fork is useful. So the goy will tell you that's Misakim Mani. But if a person is tummy, he goes to the mikveh, and he's all excited, and you ask a guy, what did he accomplish? He took a bath. So you tell the guy, no, but he took off the tumah. What tumah went to him? He doesn't know what you're talking about. So that's only Misakim Mani by the Rabbanim. That's what Tosis writes. There's a Mishnah in Sukkah. If you have hadasim, sometimes hadasim have berries growing on them. So if you have anov of merubim me'alov, if you have more berries, you never see it in the store because they pull off the berries. But the Mishnah has, if you have more berries than you have leaves, anov of merubim me'alov, alam are the leaves of the hadasim. You have a lot of leaves. And you have if you have more berries than you have leaves, then the whole hadas is possible. But if you pull off the berries, imlikton, then it's kosher. So the Mishnah says, "Ve'em alaktim biyontav." On yontav, you're not allowed to pull off the berries because misakan mani. You're making the hadasim kosher for the mitzvah. So there's a gigantic tesis in Yuma around Daf Lamed Vav. Goes from Amud Beis to Amud Aleph. Goes on and on and on. A very important tesis about Malacha Shabbos. So tesis writes over there that it's only misakan mani midirabbanan. If we ask a goy, what did he accomplish? He didn't accomplish anything. He pulled off the berries. So what? He didn't accomplish anything. But he's all excited. The Jew is excited. No, he just made the hadasim kosher before they were puzzle, and now he made it kosher. So Tosis claims that that's only misakan mani midirabbanan. Rabbi Kivega there in the Gilyan Hashas on that daf Lamed Zayin, I think, tells you to look in the Mordecha. He quotes Rav Yoh, who thinks that it's misakan mani deraisa. But we usually don't assume like that. That's a collector's item that Rabbi Kivega points out, like a believe it or not of halacha, that there's a shitas Rav Yoh, that if you're memayit, if you pull off so many berries that you have more leaves, you no longer have more berries than leaves, you have more leaves than berries, so then you made the hadas kosher. So the Rav Yoh is of the opinion that that's misakan mani midirabbanan. The pashtus is that that's only misakan mani midirabbanan. Like if you toivel a kli tummy in a mikveh, so that's only misakan mani midirabbanan, because it's not misakan mani midirabbanan. Because in common sense terms, in Milidama, if you ask a goy, the goy will say he washed off the kli. He didn't, there's no tikkun, the goy won't understand. It's only tikkun api halacha. Let's say if you mafresh shumas and maisris. Mar says also it's misakan mani. Why? Because before you mafresh shumas and maisris, it's tevel. And after him, mafresh tumas and maisis, it's no longer an isa tevel. So he made it roi lachila. So that's only midirabbanan. The Mishnah says in the end of Beitz, eile mishum shvus. It's only a gzera derabbanan that you're not allowed to be mafresh tumas and maisis on Shabbos. So the Gemara says there that this misakin mana should apply to Adam Tomei also. Adam Tomei shouldn't be allowed to be tevel in the mikveh, but we don't paskin like that. We say, kelim yinala, kelim tmeim. You're not allowed to be toivel in the mikveh. Adam Tomei is permitted to be toivel in the mikveh on Shabbos and Yontif because nirekemekar. It's misakan mana. So the only prohibited this misakan mana if it's tikkun hanikar. Just like they only asked refu if it's refu hanikaris. So the only prohibited misakan mana. If it's a tikkun in halacha, if it's a tikkun hanikar, but if the people will see that the guy was tovel in the mikvah, they'll say he wanted to cool himself off. So the Gemara compares the two, that as far as the nature of the isa de rabbanan, that just like by refuah the only prohibited refuah hanikaris, saying hanikaris is mutter, so too by tikkun the only asa de rabbanan if it's a tikkun on pi halacha. It's not a tikkun in mitzias. So the only asset if it's a tikkun anika. So that's a discussion in Shulchan Aruch about the details of that halacha. Yeah. In Shulchan Aruch, they quote that a chunk of Jewish history, the German government in a certain village. Put the Maharam Rutenberg in prison. He didn't do anything wrong. He didn't violate anything. They held him. That was the practice that that people would kidnap. Pirates would kidnap someone who was wealthy, and they would hold them. Hold them up the family for ransom money. So if the family had a lot of money, so they would hold the person until they would give him a fortune of money, and then they would free him. So they held, they found out that Maharam Rutberg was a prominent rabbi, and the Jewish community would be happy to put up a lot of money to free him, to gain his freedom. So the Rosh was a wealthy man, the Rosh was a Talmud of the Maharam Rutberg. He was going to give half the money, he was going to raise the rest of the money to free the Maharam. So the famous story, so the Maharam said, there's a Mishnah in Gittin, Ein Poyrim Sashrim Yes Al Gadei Temeyem, since they were asking for an exorbitant amount of money, way more than he would be worth, there was still the slave market during his lifetime. Now Abraham Lincoln freed the slaves, and no longer any slaves. But the days of Maharam Rutberg, that was a few centuries ago, there was still a slave market, and they were asking way more than he would sell for on the slave market. So that's a Mishnah, you're not allowed to be Poydes HaShvuyim, Yes Al Kedei Demeyim, because you'll just encourage the gangsters to kidnap more people and to repeat this, because they're making a lot of money. If you give in to the terrorists, it'll encourage them to do more terroristic activities. So the Maharam Rutberg come, they're not allowed to. So Kolzman, he was alive, they talked, weren't paid to him. Then he said before he died, they're not allowed to be paid to him even after he dies. So that they didn't listen to him. One balabos gave after he passed away. That was a bizayon. The Goyish government wouldn't let them bury the Maharam. His body was going to be rotting away. They didn't leave the body, they didn't have a freezer there. So one balabos that didn't listen to the instructions of the Maharam Rutberg, and he was paid there. He put up all the ransom money after he died, and they buried the Maharam Rutberg. So as a reward for the balabos violating the instructions of the Maharam Rutberg, so the community, when that balabos passed away, they buried him next to the Maharam Rutberg. Maharam Rutberg left instruction, mm-hmm. they shouldn't be paid to him. So the guy did shalaika din. He did against Allah, but he did it l'shem shamayim, so that's why the community rewarded him. So when he died, so they buried him next to the Maharam Rutberg. So they didn't have any tarumis. Maharam Rutberg was not a criminal, he didn't do anything wrong, so they were very nice to him in prison. So they allowed the Talmidim to come 7 days a week, they came every day, came Shabbos also, and they talked and learning, everything was fine, they were hoping that someday the Jewish community will give the money. So it says in the Shulchan Aruch, the Mechaber quotes this story, the Talmidim came, the Rosh and the Mordechai and the Hagos Maimoni were some of the Talmidim, that was the end of the period of the Bali HaTosfos. So sometimes they would come, it would be chilly in the prison, so they would take logs and they would make a fire and they would keep warm. What do you do on Shabbos? You can't make a fire, it's a malacha. So they would ask the prison guards, can you please make a fire on Shabbos so we won't catch a cold? So how do you allow to do that? What happened to the Nisar Amir Eliakum? So in Shulchan Aruch says, Hakol Cholem Eitzel Tzino. If it's cold and you're afraid that someone's going to catch a cold, they're going to have to lay in bed. You'll be incapacitated for a while. So not only do we say Amir with a Nachar is mutter on behalf of a Chayla Shem Vistakana who already is a Chayla, to pull him out from the Chayla to get him better, you're allowed to have a guy drive you to the hospital to let's say Tzorche Hatinuk, little babies, when they get sick. So it's always considered like a Chayla Shem Vistakana. That's what it says in Shulchan Aruch, based on a Gemara in Perikira, on Daf Mem on the base, Tzorche Hatinuk. For little tinaikas, everything is considered chodesh and misakone. So you're allowed to ask the goy to drive him to the hospital. You're allowed to ask a goyish doctor to do a treatment. Even malachas deraisa, you're allowed to cook water and so on. So not only is it mutter if the Jew already is a chayla and you want to heal him to prevent him from becoming a chayla, it says in the Shulchan Aruch is also mutter. Some of the achrayim, Rabbi Yosef Engel on in the Gilyoni Hashas, quotes a few achrayim who came up with a chiddush that they only had to have a chayla shem b'sakana, that amir l'nachar is mutter. All the kulas only apply if the Jewish person already is a chayla and you want to help them get better. But if you want to prevent them from becoming a chayla shem b'sakana, then there's no heter. So the pashta says that's very difficult. That's against the Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch quotes this story from the Maharam Rutenberg when he was in prison. They would ask if it would be a chilly day. On Shabbos, they were afraid they may get sick, they may catch a cold. They would ask the Goyish prison guards to please make a fire in order that they shouldn't get sick, to prevent them from getting sick. And the Pashtus is that all of the Kulas all of the kulas for cholish and sakana apply whether he already is a cholish. You want to get him better. You want to prevent them from becoming cholish and sakana. It's also mutter. There is, yeah, the din of pikuach nefesh derech hakol haTorah kula. We spoke already about this. The Gemara had one opinion that why is pikuach nefesh derech haShabbos? So it's based on chalel all of Shabbos achas kedei sheishma Shabbos es harbe. That's called chatei b'shvil shetizke. Chatei b'shvil shetizke. That the ends justifies the means. We spoke about it. Every legal system has a rule that the ends justify the means. The only question is, what are the ends and what are the means? So if I'm going to steal money from the government in order to have a yeshiva, so those ends do not justify those means. But if I want to be Mechal Shabbos to save the life of the person, so that's Chalel Olam Shabbos Achas Kadei Sheish Meshabbos Esarbe. So that ends, that does justify the means. Well, let's say I gave the mashal. I remember once we were on vacation in the summertime, so one of the women, used to go then to the bungalow colony, so one of the women from Washington Heights was having a baby on Matzai Shabbos, and my wife went along, the husband was driving her to the hospital, she had the baby in the car. My wife delivered the baby in the car. So the husband was driving quickly to the hospital, and we were in a bungalow colony on Mountaindale. And they had to go to the hospital was many miles away. So the husband was going through red lights. So the police stopped him and he said, "What are you doing?" He said, "His wife is in labor." So they radioed ahead and they told all the other police, "Let the car go through all the red lights. His wife is in labor. She's having a baby." It didn't help. She had the baby in the car. She was already her 10th baby, a 13th baby or something like that. So there was a very short labor. See ya. So the ends justify, everyone agrees the ends justify the means. If the woman has to go to the hospital, she's having a baby, the police will allow you to go through the red lights. It all depends which ends and which means. But every legal system has such a clause that sometimes the ends justify the means. So there is a rule, chatei b'shvil shetizke, chalal olam shabbos achas, kedei sheishma shabbos esarbe. So the Mishnah Berurah writes, but that's not the reason why we say pikuach nefesh derech haShabbos. If he would only say it like that, that's only if we're going to save the fella's life, and he'll live on many more Shabbosim. What if the person, we're only talking about Chai Yeshua? You may, if you'll be Mechal Shabbos, to extend his life, he may extend his life for another few hours. He's not so conscious, and he's not going to be able to be Kadesh Yishma Shabbos Esarbe. So even though you don't have this ends justifying the means, that's halacha that pikuach nefesh is derech haShabbos, not because of the consideration chalel olam Shabbos achas kedei sheyishma Shabbos esarbe. So some rishonim, the Mishnah Berurah quotes the Meiri, that maybe the person will be chozer b'tshuva the last, if he'll extend his life for an hour or two, maybe he'll have a hurry tshuva. What if he doesn't seem to be conscious at all? He's still permitted to extend his life al chai shah, even if you don't think he's going to have any hiruri tshuva. That's the din that pikuach nefesh is dechel kol haTorah kula, even without that consideration of chalala b'shabbos achas kedei sheyishma Shabbos esarbe. So now there's an interesting gemara, a gemara in Masechah Sanhedrin, that a person is a boba machteris. So there's a pasuk in Parshas Mishpatim. Someone is a boba machteris. He's digging a hole under someone's wall in order to come to steal, to rob his money. And one who's boba machteris, that's he's really daring. He's a chotzov, so he's probably going to be armed, and he's probably prepared. If the owner of the property will resist, he's prepared to kill him. So we say, Haba laharga hashkem laharga, you're permitted to kill the Baba Machteris, because we assume it's Baal iskene fashis. Unless it's a father who's coming to break into his son's home, a father's never going to kill his own son. A son is breaking in on the father's home, so the Gemara says, we can visualize this son will kill the father in order to steal his money. But the father, a normal father, is not going to kill his own son in order to steal his money. It's not going to happen. So the pasuk says that haboma machteres is mutar lahargai, because we consider the baba machteres as if he's a roidev achaver lahargai. Haboma machteres, the pasuk says, ein lo damim ukav ameis ein lo damim. How do you translate ein lo damim? We consider the baba machteres as if he's a gavraktila. A gavraktila means what's the definition of death? When do you say the person is dead? So it's a big pilpul in our generation. So the simple reading of all the Gemaras and all the Mishnais and all the Psukim is, when the blood is still circulating, then the person is alive. When the blood is not circulating, then the person is dead. But Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva where he writes this. He's not talking about their brain death or anything. There was a big machlokes years ago. Let's say a person has a stroke, and he usually puts on tefillin on the left arm, and the left arm doesn't function at all. The nervous system doesn't function at all because he had a stroke. So he's a yotze the mitzvah of putting on tefillin on the left arm if it doesn't function. So Rav Moshe quotes a gemara in Poiris, in the sugyas that usually in yeshivas nobody ever learns that. The Mishnayos and the Gemaras talk about when is the kohen a balmum. That there's a din, if the korban is a balmum, it's possible, and if the kohen is a balmum, he's possible to do avoda in the Beis Hamikdash on the korban. The Gemara said that's a mum. That mum is a chisaron that's shared in common by the kohen ha'oved and by the korban, that you're makriv on the mizbech. So the Gemara says, if you put a tourniquet around one's arm for 2 minutes, and then you take off the tourniquet, and the blood will return back. You stop the blood circulation temporarily, but it's reversible. You take off the tourniquet, and the blood will continue to circulate. So then the part of the body that didn't have blood circulating is still considered alive. But if you had the tourniquet so long on that part of the body, that even if you take it off, the blood is not going to continue to circulate. It's the irreversible cessation of the flow of the blood. So then it's considered as if that organ is dead. Then the person is considered mechusar eiver, since the organ is dead. So Rav Moshe said, if a person has a stroke, so the blood is still circulating over there. It's not that part of the body is already developing gangrene, and it's going to, whenever the body develops gangrene, means that there's no blood circulating, and that part of the body is going to decay. Like a dead body. The different parts of a dead body decay at different rates of decay. So if there's gangrene sets in the body, so that part of the body is going to decay. So if there's no blood circulating, the Rav Moshe said that's the Gemara in Pchoris, that Aver is dead. So if there's no blood circulating on the left arm, so the left arm is dead, you can't be yotze the mitzvah of tefillin on a dead arm. But if the nervous system doesn't function because of a stroke, but the blood is still circulating, then he said, you can't be yotzei tefillin. How does he know that it's so? He has this tshuva. How does he know? Because his father got a stroke months before he died. The father was makpid to sleep in sukkah on Shemini Atzeres, because it says in the Gemara, you have to sleep in the sukkah on Shemini Atzeres, even though it was freezing outside, and he got a stroke because of that. He got a stroke, and ultimately he died because of that stroke. So it took him a couple of weeks till he died. So one would have thought he did wrong. He slept in the sukkah, and it says it was freezing. So because his father was Moisa Nefesh, to sleep in the sukkah, that's Rav Moshe was always makpid, to sleep in sukkah, even if it's freezing cold. He didn't insist that his children or his grandchildren should do that. He only did it out of respect for his father. Because his father was Moisa Nefesh, literally. His father died. Because he got this, he died because it was so cold on Shemini Atzeres. I would have thought that the moral of the story was that you're not allowed to sleep in the sukkah if it's freezing cold. So you shouldn't do that. Rav Moshe understood the moral of the story is that he should do like his father, that he should sleep in makpid, to be medaktik, to sleep in the sukkah even if it's freezing cold on Shemini Atzeres. He says his father was a Talmid Chacham, and his father had a stroke, and he continued to put tefillin on the left arm, even though the left arm didn't function at all, because the blood was still circulating. So that's how he knows the din, because that's what his father did. Then he says, how did my father know? So then he shows it is Gemara and Pcharis, in the middle of the moment, that if the blood circulation stopped in an irreversible fashion, then it's considered as if that organ is dead, that organ is dead. So it's mechuser aver, like the person is missing an aver. So it's like a bamum, also like a bamum. So the pasuk has the lashon. If someone is bob and machteres, buhuka b'meis, and someone kills the bob and machteres, and says ein lo damim. What does it mean ein lo damim? So the Vilna Gaon is quoted in Aderes Aliyah is interpreting, we treat the bob and machteres as a gavre ktilo. There's a din if a person did an avera, chilu shabbos, avodah zarah, or a murder or something, and he deserves a death penalty. So Bezin has to need a Sanhedrin of 23. They make a Gemar Din L'Misa, and then they give him the Misa's Bezin, whatever. So once Bezin makes the Gemar Din L'Misa, the Mishnah is saying Sanhedrin, we treat the person about whom he made a Gemar Din as if he already is a Gavra Ketila. So someone comes and they shoot him and they kill him. They don't kill him in order to fulfill the mitzvah of Misa's Bezin. They kill him because they don't like him. They hated him. They always hated him. But if they'll kill him some other occasion, the Bezin will give them the death penalty. Now the Bezin already made a Gemar Din L'Misa, so they have the status of a Gavra Ketila. So that's what the Pasuk says, Ein lo domim, the Bob Machteres, we treat him as if he's a dead person, as if he's a Gavra Ketila, as if he doesn't have blood circulating in his system. Im Zorcha al Shamish Allah, but if it's Klor V'detog, that is not Bo'alis Kenefoshes, he's not prepared to kill the owner of the house, it's a Oval Beno. The father's breaking in by his son. The father would never kill his son, even if he doesn't like him. So then, Domim Lo, we treat the father, who's the Boba Machteris, as if he does have blood circulating in his system, and he's not considered a Gavrik Dima. So you see from this, Bira Gros, I think the Ibn Ezra also learns the same shot. Ein Lo Domim, Domim Lo, we treat the Boba Machteris as if he doesn't have blood circulating. And that's the definition of a dead man. A live person is the one who does have blood circulating because the blood circulation provides oxygen to all of the cells and it keeps them all alive. So that's how you define whether any given organ is alive or dead. That's how you define whether any given patient is alive or dead. If the blood is still circulating and providing oxygen to the cells, then the organ is alive or the organism is still alive. So the... So the Mishnah has this din. After Bezin makes a Gemar Din L'Misa, we treat the person who did the Avera, who was Nigba Din L'Misa, we treat him as if he is a Gavra Ketila. And if anybody kills him, they won't get the death penalty. So the Gemara has a din. Someone is Baba Machteris, and it's Nitan Lahargoy. We say, Ein Lo Damen. And then Naflala, he's Baba Machteris on Shabbos. Someone is Baba Machteris on Shabbos, and it's Nitan Lahargoy. So we say, Ein Lo Damen. And then the whole ball collapses on him, and he is now b'sakonis nefoshes. So the Gemara says, you're not allowed to be mechal Shabbos to save his life. You're only allowed to be mechal Shabbos if the person is alive, you want to keep him alive. But here the fellow is already a gavra ketila. So gavra ketila, there's no din of pikuach nefesh to extend his life. So the Mishnah Berurah at the end of Shin Chav Tes quotes a Prima Godim, what if a person is nigmar dino l'nisa on Friday, and they didn't get a chance to kill him yet. They're going to give him the death penalty on Sunday. And then he's b'sakonis nefoshes. So the Prima Godim says, you're allowed to be mechal Shabbos to save his life. Because since we never give Mrs. Bezin on Shabbos, so today the Rebbeinu Shalom wants him to live. Rebbeinu Shalom wants him to die tomorrow on Sunday. But since we don't administer Mrs. Bezin on Shabbos, so the Rebbeinu Shalom wants this person to live today. So you're allowed to be Mechal Shabbos for Chai Yishoh, even though tomorrow we're going to give him the death penalty. So the Mishnah Berurah asks, what in the world is he talking about? Nigmar Din Lemisa. The Gemara says, Abba Machteris, even though there is no Gemar Din, Abba Machteris is no Bezin. Abba Machteris, it says, Lechumish Ein Lo Domim, we treat him as if he's a Gavra Ketila. Here we made a Gemar Din Lemisa on the person, except that on Shabbos you don't give the death penalty, but it's Nigmar Din Lemisa, Bahar Glein and Eregolov. So he said it should be the same, just like Abba Machteris of Nafalala of Mapolis on Shabbos, you're not allowed to save his life because he's a Gavra Ketila. So the same should be over here. If someone was Nigmar Din L'Misa, he's a Gavra Ketila, he's not allowed to be Mechal Shabbos to save his life. There are very few dinim where we say the person, let's say, Bezin made a Gemar Din L'Misa, until they give him the death penalty, should he still daven Mincha? Should he still lake Tefillin? So the Gemara said, yes, he's alive. You don't say Mason Chavshim, he's a Gabrik Tehli, he's part of our mitzvahs. Or let's say someone be, he'll be Mizana with an Eishes Ish. This man who's Nigmadina Lemisa, he'll be Mizana with an Eishes Ish. So you don't say it's like having Tashmish with a dead person. He's alive. He's alive, he's not dead. He's only a Gabrik Tehli when he gets to very few halachas. So one of the few halachas is that Pikuach Nefesh of such a person is not Dechel Shabbos. If the person is alive and kicking, and then you want to extend his life. But if Alpidin, we treat him like a Gavrik Tehli, then there's no Heter Pikuach Nefesh.
Rabbi, when the person comes in with a wall falls on him, once the wall fell on him, then he's no longer above the Machteris. So why can't you help him?
That's a murderous kasha. That's a murderous kasha. There was a great Goyen 100 years ago who wrote a tshuva sefer called Chelkas Yoyov. He was a Talmud of Davni Nezer, but he became a great Goyen. Chelkas Yoyov Achsidushin, the Achsidushin. So he has 103 kashas on Shas that he doesn't have any teretz for. It's called Kaba de Kashyaisa. Kaba de Kashyaisa in the Gemara means a container full of pits. When you eat a peach, so you have a pit inside. So Kaba de Kashyaisa means a whole bunch of pits. And he calls it Kaba Kuf Beis Aleph, it's Gematria 103. He has 103 kashas that he doesn't know anybody can give to Rutsam on. So that's one of his 103 kashas. Once the wall fell on him, so he stopped being a Raidiv. If the Baba Machteri stops, so he's no longer a Gavrik Tehli. So why are you not allowed to be Mechal Shabbos? If the Bezdin would make a Gmardin Lemisa, okay. So it's Gavrik Tehli. But here he's only a Gavrik Tehli, calls man that he's Baba Machteri. He stopped in the middle. So he doesn't have a teretz. One of the Rabbanim in Yerushalayim put out a whole sefer. He collected all the terutzim that anybody ever gave on these 103 kashas. On the Kaaba de Kashas. But the kasha is better than all the terutzim. That's a strong kasha. I don't know. That's a very strong kasha. Okay, maybe we will stop here. I think we did enough about the Pikuach Nefesh, about Shin Chav Ches and Shin Chav Tes, the Dinim of Chayla. Now we'll go back to the beginning of Hilcha Shabbos, the Simon Reish Mem Beis. We'll leave that in next week. We'll start from the beginning of Chela Gimel in the Mishnah Berurah.
If I can ask you a question, I had listened to the shiur last night about a Kohen, if he's a lefty, then it's considered he has a mum. But if he learns to do the avoda with his right hand, is that sufficient and that takes away the mum?
If you hold that, it's because of mum. Could be. I don't know. But we don't really accept that pshat. Rashi has a few pshatim. One pshat in Rashi, that a person is a lefty, is called a bal mum. So we don't really hold like that. That's not a bal mum. We hold it's a different chisar. So the pashtus is that the avoda has to be done by yamin. Nisvelo has to be yamin, that side of the body, and it has to be the stronger of the two arms. So if he's a lefty, he doesn't have a yamin. The right arm isn't the stronger, and the left arm is on the wrong side of the body. So he just doesn't have a yamin. That's why, but it's not called the bal mum. They don't really hold like that, Rashi. That's a problematic Rashi. Rashi has three pshatim. Yeah. Good. Okay. We'll be there next week. We'll start the Hilchot Shabbos and Reish Mem Beis. Okay.
Thank you. Good night.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Very good.
The Rebbe usually gives up. Usually says on the parsha.
Obviously. I was afraid to say it, but you were right. Okay. Maybe he had to handle that phone call from before. Okay.